It's a great blessing and it's a great honor to stand up here in this place every Sunday and to pastor a group of God's people that I pastor. Those of you that are just joining us on YouTube, those that are listening on our website, you don't get the blessing of being a part in this fellowship. Wish you could. If you are nearby and need a church home, this would sure be a good place to plant your flag. We're halfway between Austin and Houston, and we appreciate you joining in our worship this morning. We appreciate these folks that are here with us. Charlie and Lana are not doing very well. Keep praying for them and their health. So hopefully they're listening in. Minta is not doing well, so hopefully she knows how to get on YouTube and join us. Others that are out, we miss you, but we're at least glad you get to join us this way. Luke chapter 5, the Bible said it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we've toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net broke. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. So we return one last time to the shores of the Sea of Galilee, which seemed to be one of the Lord's favorite places there in and around Capernaum. Four of the Lord's future disciples who lived there at the village in Capernaum, had an appointment with the Lord. They have already met him. They've been around him for a while, even heard his preaching. Peter had even invited him home for Sunday dinner after church to taste his mother-in-law's cooking. And evidently, Mrs. Peter was still young and learning, because the first thing that the Lord did upon finding her sick with a high fever, healed her. And it says that she then immediately rose up and began frying chicken. Now, I know that because it said in chapter 4, the previous chapter, verse 39, that immediately she arose and ministered unto them. So, of course, she started cooking. And by the way, please don't tell the Catholics about that, because with Peter being their first pope, the head of their church, he's not supposed to be married. You have to be careful studying the Bible. It'll mess up so many theologies and man-made systems that you have. But today, though, is a special time in the life of James, his brother John, and Andrew, and his brother Peter. They're going to be formally appointed or called to a public commitment to be the Lord's disciples, to follow the Lord, so that they can be trained to be apostles, which means to be sent out, to be His sent out ones with a commission. But before the call, Peter needed a little extra preparation. He needed some one-on-one instruction. And isn't it amazing how the Lord knows just what we need and exactly when it's needed? If the Holy Spirit had not moved Dr. Luke to write these 10 verses here in Luke chapter 5, we would have gotten the same picture that the other gospel writers gave us of the Lord simply walking by while they were mending their nets and called them to follow Him. And it said they left everything and they followed Him. Here we have the backstory of that and the personal attention that He gives to Peter. Now, I think if we'd be honest with ourselves this morning, with just a few Andrew exceptions, most would identify with Peter and this need for extra maintenance and personal attention from the Lord. How many times have you wanted to just quit and walk away and the Lord showed up and encouraged you with a little extra attention? How many times have we strayed off in the wrong direction doctrinally or in what we were doing, and the Lord showed up and corrected us with that gentle nudge, or sometimes with a two before? But whatever was needed, we got back where we were supposed to be. All right, stay in Luke, but go over to John 21, where we left off last time. The Lord has resurrected. Peter, the other disciples there, defaulted back to the comfort zone. They were in deep waters. They couldn't touch bottom. They didn't know exactly what they were supposed to do, even though the Lord gave them exact instructions. I'm amazed that we find ourselves floundering sometimes, not knowing what to do when we have exact instructions that we're holding now in our lap. They were that way. And so Peter said, I'm going fishing. They said, well, that sounds good. I think we'll go with you. And again, they fished and caught nothing. Every time we go to do something in the flesh, it never will work out spiritually. And the Lord showed up. Boy, aren't you glad? Aren't you glad He does that? Aren't you glad this is by grace and we don't have to earn it? We'd never get there. And he had fish cooking even before they brought the fish that they had just caught, when he said, drop the net on the other side of the boat and you'll find what you're looking for. They said, wait a minute. That reminds me of back in Luke 5. That's the Lord. Peter puts his coat on, jumps over the side of the boat, and makes a beeline for Jesus. Now, he had been again reminded of his unworthiness. because he had denied the Lord three times. When he proclaimed loudly to any who would hear, "I won't. I'm not going to deny the Lord. Though everybody else will, I'm not." He did. And he didn't just deny him, he did it three times. So you know what is needed now? Personal attention. So he brings Peter aside. Verse 15. "So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me more than these?' He said unto him, 'Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee.' He said, 'Then feed my lambs.'" Feed the young Christians that have just been saved. Verse 16, "He said unto him the second time, 'Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?' He said unto him, 'Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee.' He said, 'Feed my sheep.'" Those that have been saved a few years, that were in the Middle Ages, that, you know, are in the sanctuary Sunday school class. Then he said, verse 17, "He said unto him the third time, 'Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?' And Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, 'Lovest thou me?' And he said unto him, 'Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee.'" You see, he made Peter acknowledge him three times. Jesus said unto him, "Feed my sheep," the older ones that are back in the fellowship hall class. So, you see, Donovan, I got all of the Sunday school groups there, you know, the lambs, the middle sheep, and the older sheep. The good thing, you know, about older sheep is you can't tell they have gray hair. It just came to me. I didn't have time to plan on that one, so you just take it. It's personal, is it not? The Lord knows us. He's acquainted with each of us intimately and personally. Because, you see, He searched us and He's known us. He knows our down-sitting and our uprising. And even understands our thoughts afar off. He compasses us. He surrounds us in our paths and in our lying down. And He's acquainted with all of our ways. And there's not even a word on our tongues, but He knows it all together. There's nowhere we can go from His presence that He's not there. His hand leads us, and His right hand holds us. He possesses our reins, our controls, and covers us while we were still in the womb. We are fearfully and wonderfully made for a specific purpose, and for a specific will that the Lord has for each of us. And when it's His time, He rings the alarm clock so that we won't miss our appointments with Him. Peter's time had come. He's there beside the Sea of Galilee after fishing all night. Peter's boat, his fishing boat, was his life. Literally, it was his life, because that's how he made his living. And one morning when his mind was on everything else but the Lord climbed up into his life. And his life was never the same. He instructed him to launch out into the deep to a place where he had never gone, to do a thing that he had never done before. The Lord said, let down your nets for a draught. And then in verse 5, we saw the first truth. He said, nevertheless, at thy word, I will. The reaction in faith to God's word. Before he understood, he believed. He took the Lord at his word, which is what faith is. The stumbling block of Greeks, of Gentiles, is this demand that we understand before we believe. You'll never get there. Poor old Nicodemus was in amazement at what Jesus was saying. He didn't understand a word, yet he was a teacher. And he said, let me tell you about the wind, Nicodemus. It blows wherever it lists. You can't tell where it's coming, where it's going, when it's going to come up. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit. You can't see the wind, but you can sure see the effects of the wind, especially if you're in Florida. Wind can be powerful. We can't see the Holy Spirit, but I promise you, we can see the effects of the Holy Spirit. He's powerful. We didn't understand the wind, but we believed the wind was there. We didn't understand electricity, but we still used it. Now, I want to tell you something. You're not going to understand salvation, and you're not going to understand God. And you're not even going to begin to do so until you act in faith and receive Christ as Savior and be saved. Pass from death unto life and receive the Holy Spirit inside of your soul. Then, and only then, do you begin to get a grasp of this revealing of God in these pages of who He is and who we really are without Him and who we really are now and will be with Him. The reaction in faith to God's word, first truth. Verse 8 was the second truth we saw. When they obeyed, Peter and those in the ship obeyed what the Lord said to do by faith. End of verse 7, they were amazed at what God could do that they could not do. And then Peter realized who he really was, Jesus, and who Peter really was, a sinful man, unworthy to be in his presence, unworthy to do anything in service to him. He was, verse 9, astonished. He was amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, as the song says. So the second truth is the result of faith, a realization of who Jesus is in amazement and a realization of who we are in unworthiness. And now the third truth in verse 9. He was astonished, and all that were with him at the draught of the fishes which they had taken, and so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Then verse 11, when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. The third truth is the response of obedience. The response of obedience to the Lord's calling. This is a call to evangelism. This call of the Lord on the life of Peter, and also Andrew, and also James and John in the other boat, and then later, eight more disciples. This was a call, first of all, to evangelism, to evangelize the lost, to be fishers of men, to evangelize is to take the gospel of Jesus Christ and live it out in demonstration that people can see, and then present it in an explanation that people can follow and hear. And then the extension of an invitation to come to Jesus Christ and to come with you to church. And finally, to water the seed that was sown in daily prayer and specific by name prayer. This is a call by Jesus not only to evangelism, but to fellowship, a mutual exchange. In other words, bring them into the church. Bring them into your life. You cannot fellowship with someone if you're not with them. Look at Mark. Stay in Luke. Mark, one to the left. Chapter 3, verse 14. Mark 3, verse 14. Verse 13, he goes up into a mountain and calls unto him whom he would, and they came unto him. Verse 14, and he ordained 12 to do what? That they should be with him. So he called them to be with him and to be in fellowship with him. When we disobey, when we sin as a Christian, we do not lose eternal life. You cannot lose something that never ends. What we lose is the closeness of the fellowship that we have with the Lord. That's what has to be restored with repentance and with obedience. The Lord said, I've saved you and called you so that you will be with me, not just in spirit now, but literally for all of eternity, because the only reason I'm gone from you now in presence is so that I can prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. And he said, until then, though, you'll not be without my presence, because I'm going to send my Spirit to inhabit you, to live with you, to be with you until He brings you to where I am and ushers you into my presence. This is a call to fellowship with the Lord. Every morning, guys, when our mind's on work, when our mind's on our problems, when our mind's on our appointments that we got to get done, our to-do list, and we're rushing around and we're throwing this together and that together and trying to find our keys and everything, the Lord, in the midst of this chaos, is calling us to fellowship with Him. Oh, if we could just do that, there would be a calm, there would be a peace, and we'd know immediately where our car keys was. And because we got up early to fellowship with Him, we have time to prepare for the day. This is not only a call to fellowship and to evangelism, but it's a call of discipleship. Discipleship. learning, training. The Lord instructed them and prepared them with His commandments and with His promises. Why would you make it mandatory for your child to go to school? Because you see the need that he has to have an education in order to get a good job so that he'll move out and be on his own. Why would we see the urgent need for that and not an urgent for yourself to be in church for the same thing? Amen. He said, when you're ready and it's time, I'll send you out as apostles, sent with a mission to do. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Both in the fullness of time and in the length of distance, wherever you go in the world, he said, I'm going to be with you. Calling is the commission to evangelize, to fellowship, to bring into the church through water baptism, and to be discipled, to be trained, to go out, to be sent out with a job, with a mission, to do the same thing. And with the calling comes the commission. Same thing. Discipleship and equipping to do the job. Please notice that this is a high calling. This call is a high calling. Stay in Luke again, but go the other direction to Philippians. Philippians 3:14. Paul said, I press toward the mark. What's the mark? Well, he said in verse 13 that he forgot those things which were behind. He reached forth unto the things which are before, and he said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The calling is the work of the Holy Spirit to conform us, to change us into the image of Jesus Christ. It's a high calling to follow the Lord as His disciple, as to follow the Lord as His sent out ones. We have to become more Christ-like. And we can only do that as we're exposed to the fellowship of the Lord and the fellowship with His people and the discipleship through the ministries in the church. It's a high calling to be like Jesus Christ. It's not only a high calling, it's an audible calling. John chapter 10. John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them and they follow me. How can you follow him if you can't hear where he's at? If you can't see where he's going? This calling is an audible. You can hear his voice because we belong to him. Now, other sheep can't hear him. They don't belong to him. But his sheep hear, and as a result of hearing, they follow him. It's an audible hearing. We can easily hear it if we're listening. If we're listening through prayer, through Bible reading, through teaching in Sunday school, and preaching in the worship service. And then finally, it's not only a high calling, an audible calling, it's a worthy calling. Matthew 10:38. It's a worthy calling.
said, he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. But if we take up that cross that he allows to come into our life, the teaching, the training, the removing of self, and sacrifice, which is really an investment, but sacrifice and follow the Lord, he said, it's a worthy calling. Back in our text, he said, Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Now, if you're going to catch fish, I want to tell you something. They don't just jump up in the boat. You've got to work at it a little bit. And you've got to use something called bait. So finally, there is a use for liver. Because only a nasty catfish will eat one of those things. So when you catch men, you need to use a little bait. You know what that's called? Kindness. Ministering to their physical needs. Jesus fed the multitude. That doesn't replace the gospel, but it sure makes somebody ready to receive the gospel.
Well, if you don't get saved, you're going to die and go to hell. Boy, that'll bring them in by the multitudes. That's not bait. You're just throwing the hook out there and jabbing them.
Now, there's some who are called to a special calling to preach and to leave their jobs, as he's calling these disciples. But most of the time, the calling of the Lord is to follow him and carry out his commission in our own profession. One more time, look at Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, verse 1. He said, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, not Rome, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation, the job, wherewith you're called. It's a walk. I can live and not advance any from the place that I'm at. The Bible word is walk, because that means a day-by-day living that grows you and advances you in faith and in works. There's a progressive change, a conformity to Jesus Christ. You're not where you were yesterday. You've grown. That's why he refers to it as a walk. Work on your job in such a way that you will be worthy of the Lord and of his calling. It's not a secular job. Let me clarify something for you. Your job is not a secular job. There's no such thing as a secular job any more than there's any such thing as a lay person and a clergy. As a matter of fact, that division in the church of clergy and laity, he said in Revelation 2 that he hates it. He despises it. So therefore, everything that we do on our jobs is sacred. His presence is with us wherever we go. And we go on that job in order to glorify God and in order to obey his commission. How did we get that job? I guarantee you it's not because you're so smart. God opened a door and put you where he wanted you to be to do his job. Now, don't not do your responsibility and just witness. No. As you do your responsibility, do it to the best of the ability that the Holy Spirit has given you wisdom and strength to do. But be mindful of the fact that you are also carrying the presence and the word of Jesus Christ wherever you go. It's a worthy calling. You see, the worth is not in us, it's in the Lord. He's made us who are unworthy, worthy. At work, at home, in church, in the community, live in such a way that your speech, your conduct, and your interaction with other people shows the worth of the Lord's calling on your life. And Jesus said unto Simon, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." Acts chapter 2, 3,000. Acts chapter 3, 5,000. The net was full. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all, followed him. I just don't know where to turn. I just don't know what to do. Just follow him. Wherever he goes, you go. Father, thank you this morning for this tremendous 11 verses of Scripture. Lord, I pray that we would not just smile at the interaction between you and Peter and say that was a good story, but Lord, that we would climb into Peter and hear these words from you for ourselves, to us personally. Lord, the commission that you've given is not to an institution. It's to an individual. The calling is not a general calling out to the whole world. It's a calling of your people that you've saved to do what we've been saved to do. And I pray this morning and the previous Sunday mornings, as we've listened to your word, Lord, that we would, as Peter did, despite our beliefs, our opinions, our traditions, we would say, "Nevertheless, at thy word I will." And we would respond and react by faith to what you've said in your word. And then, Lord, be amazed at the result. And then, Lord, that we would respond to this calling that you've called us to with obedience. So that, Lord, one day we'll stand before you and we won't be empty-handed. There'll be fruit that abounds for your glory and for your honor. The talent, the gift, the life that you've given to us will have been multiplied countless times that we can present to you as an offering of thanksgiving and praise and say, "Lord, I've taken what you've given to me, the power of the Holy Spirit that you've given to me, and I've multiplied it. I've done what you've said." Oh, what a day that'll be. Lord, I pray nobody in this room will be ashamed when we stand before you, as John described, and we have nothing to present, nothing to cast at your feet. So Lord, may we realize that you have made us exactly like we are. Whether we like what we look like or not, Lord, you've made us this way. And you've done so for a purpose. Lord, you've placed us where you've placed us for a purpose. Lord, you've put us on jobs for a purpose. Now, Lord, it's time for us to fulfill the purpose for who we are, where we're at, and what you want to use us for. Speak to our hearts this morning. Lord, if there's someone that has never received you as Savior, Lord, there is no calling except to be saved. But then, Lord, after salvation, there's a lot of callings. And Lord, there won't be any further callings until we obey the last call that you've called us to do. And I pray we'd do that. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand, every head bowed, every eye closed. If the Lord is calling you, I pray this morning you would respond to his call in obedience. As the music plays, you come.